We're going to be back in the book of Colossians tonight. So go ahead and take your Bible and open up to Colossians chapter 1. Our focus tonight will be verses 18, 19, and 20. If you need a handout, our ushers would be glad to give you one of those. Just lift your hand up real high, and our ushers will give you a handout if we miss you on the way in. If you're missing past handouts, Brian, we have a file back there, don't we? We have a whole file back there of old handouts. You can also, download those online, too. So we just appreciate it, and thanks for coming tonight. We've been going through Colossians, one of the greatest books in your Bible for the church-age believer. And we've been going verse by verse. We started right in verse 1, and now we're in verse 18. We began verse 18 last week, but we didn't get very far into it. Let me ask you something. Do you enjoy going through books verse by verse? Do you enjoy this? Isn't this great? Because we really learn the whole book, don't we? We get the context, and I enjoy teaching through books of the Bible and have done that for just all the time I've been here, and I think we learn a lot that way. I've always preached through books of the Bible, but I hadn't done a verse-by-verse study in a while until 2006. We did Galatians, and Norm Scheib is one that got me going on that again. And, of course, Norm's with the Lord now. But he said, why don't you do some verse-by-verse studies again? And I'm like, okay. And so that kind of got me going. I thought that was good advice. And so we've done several. We're in the book of Colossians now. And in verse number 18, if you can turn there with me. The Bible says here, now, before we get into this verse, what Paul is going to do is he's going to show us how Jesus Christ, who he's just talked about in verses, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, he's going to show us how Christ relates to us living in the dispensation of grace. Christ revealed himself as the Messiah, the King of Israel, when he came during his earthly ministry. He was the one that came from heaven, the bread from heaven, that would come, the manna from heaven, that would come and bring in Israel's kingdom, sit on the Davidic throne. But of course, Israel rejected Christ. They said, away with him, crucify him. They crucified him. And then the rejected king rose from the dead and he ascended up into heaven. So how is he revealing himself today from his place in heaven? How is Christ revealing himself to the world today? What is his position today as it relates to us? And not Israel, but us. And that's something that we need to look at in verse 18, because this verse is going to give us some great insight. Look at it with me. Verse 18, it says, and he, Christ, is the, notice how he's revealing himself. Not as the King of Israel, he's revealing himself as the head of the body, the what? The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And so last week we discussed the fact that he is the head of the body, the church. And when he talks about the body, he's talking about the body of Christ. All believers who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. They are now in Christ. They are seated in heavenly places. And that called out assembly that's been seated up in heaven is called the church, the body of Christ. Is the body of Christ found in one particular religious denomination? Yes or no? Is the body of Christ found in one church name? Yes or no? No. The body of Christ, is it just found in America? No, the body of Christ is all those in the world and all those really for the past almost 2,000 years who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. They compose the body of Christ. And he is the beginning. Christ is the one that started it all. He's the life source. And then it says he's the firstborn from the dead. That's why he calls him the beginning. Because there could be no church, there could be no heavenly body until Christ rose from the dead and ascended into the heavenly places. So there could be no body of Christ until that happened. So in your handout, it says that Christ is the originator of a brand new organism that never existed previously, called the church, the body of Christ. Paul refers to the body of Christ as one new man. Go back to Ephesians, go back two books to the left, Ephesians 2. And let's go to verse 15. Ephesians 2 and verse number 15. Okay? It says, well, let's go up to verse 14. Well, let's go up to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both, that's Jew and Gentile in context, one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make, notice, in himself, of two, of twain, one new man, so making peace. Now notice he tells you in verse 16 what the one new man is. And that he might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, unto God, notice, in what? One body. There's that one new man. In one body, how did he do it? He did it through his cross work, didn't he? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so, you know, what I want you to see here, and this is what I really want you to get, and I want you to understand, is that the church, the body of Christ, again, when I say the church, I'm not talking about just a local church of professing believers. I'm talking about the true church, the true believers that are seated in heavenlies, and we make up the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, is not the nation of Israel remade or retooled. It's not the nation of Israel with a facelift, if you will, okay? The body of Christ is something new that did not exist previously. You know, and so when we talk about the body of Christ, I've gotten into some discussions with people about this that'll try to say that the body of Christ is back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I tell them that's impossible. It can't be there. And they say, well, why not? And I take them to Ephesians 2:16. Look at it again. What does verse 16 say? And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. Okay, but how did he do it? By the cross. There cannot be the body of Christ during his earthly ministry to the nation of Israel, because it was through his cross work. And of course, within the framework of that is, of course, his resurrection and ascension into heaven. Within that finished work, that's how the body could begin. That's why he's called the beginning by Paul, the firstborn. See, from the dead. He is the head of the body because he's the beginning. He rose from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead. Now, I want you to think about this. When Christ, let's bring up a chart real quick here. I want to bring that chart up. When, go back to Colossians 1 now again, and we'll go back there. When Christ died on the cross, when the Jews and Gentiles said, "Away with him, crucify him." Christ died, he rose from the dead, he ascended up into heaven. The Bible says, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And he was given a name that's above every name. So Jesus Christ was given an exalted position in the heavenlies after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Above all power, all principality, any authority. That's why he said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. When Jesus Christ ascended, he ascended far above all principality and power. So Jesus Christ is in heaven. He holds all power. He's got all authority. So then the question is this. When this all occurred and he ascends up here, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and given a name above every name, why is it that he did not utilize that power that he had, that he'd been given? And why did he not return back down here to the earth? Why didn't he come and return to the earth, judge the ungodly, judge his enemies? Why didn't he make his enemies his footstool, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost? Why didn't he establish the kingdom on earth that he proclaimed, that he said he was going to come and establish? Why didn't he come back down to the earth and utilize that position and that power that he had been given as the risen, ascended, and exalted Lord? Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he come down and do that? Well, Colossians 1:18 is going to give you the reason. And it's you've got to follow this now. We kind of get into some things here that you're going to have to pay attention now. At the end of verse 18, what does the end of that verse say? The Bible says that he formed this new organism called the body of Christ, the church. And why did he do it? Well, the end of that verse tells you why he created us, the body of Christ. Look what it says. That in what? All things he might have the preeminence. Well, what's the all things? Go back to verse 16. Remember? You got to look at the context. For by him were all things created that are where? In heaven, and that are where? In earth. So there's this governmental system that's created in the heavens and also on earth, and it's created to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those all things, see, the things created in heaven, the things created on earth, all of it was created to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the end there, verse 16. It says, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So everything's created for him. Now look up here. God, when Christ came to the earth, and he was born a Jew, and he was born there in Israel, and he came to preach to his people to repent. When he did that, God already had a plan, and God already had a vessel through which he would reign on earth and glorify his Son, Jesus Christ. He already had a plan for that. We call it the prophetic plan. And I almost brought in another chart about that talks about the prophetic plan. Maybe I should have brought that in. But the prophetic plan was prophesied. The Bible says that God has been prophesying about it since the world began. Okay, that's in Acts 3:21. So there's this plan that's been prophesied since the world began. It's called the prophetic plan. It's been prophesied. It's been told. It's been made known. And God reveals, as you go through the Bible, God reveals that he even has a vessel through which God's going to accomplish his plan on the earth. And that vessel through which he's going to accomplish the prophetic plan and through which his Son will be glorified on the earth, that vessel that he'll work through is the nation of Israel. I want you to go back with me to the Old Testament, please, okay? And keep your bookmarker here, and I want you to see this. Let's see, grab Ezekiel. Big prophet, okay? Ezekiel 36. Okay, you should be able to find that. All right, Ezekiel 36. God had a prophetic plan through which his Son would be glorified on the earth. He had a vessel that he was going to work through to accomplish that plan. That was the nation of Israel. If you look at Ezekiel 36, let's begin reading in verse 22. Okay, look at it with me. Ezekiel 36, 22. This is God now talking. And God said in verse 22, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not, and he's talking to Israel, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. Israel failed to be that light they were supposed to be. And he says, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified. And what's the next two words? Tells Israel, in you. I'm going to be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and I'm going to gather you, he tells Israel, out of all countries, and will bring you, notice, not into heaven. He said, I'm going to bring you where, Israel? Look at verse 24 now. Come on, look at it. Look at the very end. Where is he going to bring Israel? Talk to me. Where? Into your own land. This is earth right here. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. They're not going to get in unless they go through a water ceremony. They're going to have to go through that to get into the kingdom. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell where? In the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Go over to chapter 37. Go to the next chapter. Chapter 37, verse 21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, notice this, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. Who do you think that king is? That's Christ. And they shall no more, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them. Now David's been dead for years when this is written. So who's he talking about? He's talking about somebody that's going to come from David's loins. Now who came from David's loins that's going to be king over Israel? Jesus Christ. And they all, and notice it says, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children, forever. How long? Forever. And my servant David, that's Christ, shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, the Gentiles, shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Hosea, I believe it's chapter 2. Talks about God tells Israel, I'm going to sow you into the earth. And you're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. Now, here's my point in all this, and I want you to look up here. God had a plan. Remember, in all things, Christ has to have the preeminence. The all things are things in heaven, things on earth. God has a plan, a glorious plan, whereby His Son will be glorified on the earth. God has a channel through which He's going to work to accomplish that plan. What is the channel? It's the nation of Israel. He forms that nation in the earth, tells them you're going to be a kingdom of priests on the earth, and He says, I'm forming you for the express purpose of manifesting Christ's preeminence over the entire earth as king. And Christ will come, and Christ will sit on that Davidic throne, and the Bible says that the government is going to be on His shoulders, and all the earthly ranks of authority are going to be under His control and under His headship. Now the question is this, if God has this prophetic plan that's been prophesied since the world began, that involves the earth and a channel Israel through which He's going to accomplish that plan, then here's the obvious question. What about the heavens? Christ must be preeminent in how many things? All things. So God, in your handout, it says God has been forming a brand new creation, not Israel made over, a brand new creation. An agency through which His Son will be glorified throughout the heavens in the ages to come. And that agency that He's forming is the body of Christ. I want you to go with me to Ephesians now again. Go over there to Ephesians chapter 2. And if you look up, well, I know you're grabbing Ephesians 2. When you grab Ephesians 2, I want you to look back up at the chart. Let's bring that back up. And if you notice the chart here, the prophetic plan about the kingdom on earth was prophesied here in the Old Testament. Jesus came and declared it was at hand. The prophetic plan is at hand. It's ready. All systems go. Okay? But then they crucified Christ. They rejected him, the king. And so the exiled king ascends up into heaven, sends back the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills the apostles. They offer the kingdom again to Israel here in the early part of Acts. Again, Israel blasphemes the Holy Spirit through the Spirit-indwelt apostles. They want nothing to do with it. They martyr, they kill Stephen here in Acts chapter 7. And rather than Christ coming back down to the earth, making his enemies his footstool, and establishing that kingdom here on earth, no, there was still some unfinished business. Remember the heavens. They also have to be reconciled, and he has to be glorified in the heavens. So here's where it gets good. Okay, there was a mystery, hidden, secret purpose that God had that he hid. He kept it secret. He didn't tell anybody what he was going to do. In fact, if you look, man, there's so many things I want to look at. All right, go to Ephesians 2 and look at verse 6. We'll go there first. It says that God has raised us up together. So the body of Christ has been raised up. We've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come. All right, so there's something out there in the ages to come that's going to take place in the heavenly places. And that's us. See, we're raised up, seated there, that in the ages to come, look at it, verse 7, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, if you look up here, unlike the prophetic plan, which is this, okay, the prophetic plan's been prophesied since the world began, what God's going to do on the earth. Unlike the prophetic plan for the earth, this agency, look up here, this agency that he's been forming in this parentheses called the body of Christ, okay, this agency called the body of Christ, in your handout, it says it was kept secret since the world began, and then it was revealed in due time through the Apostle Paul. Go back to Colossians 1 after you write that in, and I'll show you this. We're going to study this thoroughly later, but go down to verse 25. And again, I'm going to try to make this real simple. I'm going to review, and I want you to try hard to get this because it's very important. Look down at verse 25, Colossians 1, 25. Paul said, whereof I am made a minister. Paul said, I am made a minister. According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill or to complete the word of God. See, this, why? Well, look at verse 26. Even the what? Mystery. Which hath been what? Hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now look up here. Let me ask you a question. Not the mystery program, but the prophetic program. It's been prophesied since the world began. Okay? Christ revealed, way back, if we go back to the chart, way back here from the beginning of time, the prophets have been declaring God's plan to set up a kingdom on this earth. Then in Genesis 12, he calls out Abraham, and from Abraham, now there would come a vessel through which God's going to accomplish his plan to bring glory to his son on the earth, and that's the nation of Israel. That's all prophesied. That's all told. You can read about it over and over and over and over again in your Old Testament. You can read about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can read about all that. Unlike that plan, this prophetic plan, unlike that kingdom prophetic plan, Christ is not, listen, Christ is not revealing himself as the visible king over all the earth today. Is he? Let me ask you, have you seen Christ? No. Is he making himself known as the king over all the governments of the earth right now? Yes or no? No. He's letting them go on in their folly and in their rebellion. You see, today, now listen to me, today, Christ is the rejected Lord of glory. They rejected him. They wanted nothing to do with him. So he ascends up into heaven. So now he is in heaven and he's forming a new creation. called the body of Christ. Man, listen, folks, do you understand what that means? That means that we have the privilege to be part of the body of Christ, which means that we have a part in God's great cosmic plan to reveal the preeminence of Christ throughout the heavenly places in the ages to come. You and I get to be a part of that plan. You ever feel like you're not part of the game plan? Have you ever been involved in something and you feel like a fifth wheel? That's a terrible feeling, isn't it? You feel like, okay, I'm part of the team, but I'm not, you know, and you feel like I'm a tag along, a fifth wheel, that I'm not even part of the game plan here. Well, that's not so in God's plans. You see, you are a vital part of God's plan to reconcile the heavens unto Jesus Christ if you're saved tonight. That ought to excite you, and that ought to really get you motivated. You see, we're not just some kind of tag along in Israel's plans. Okay, God has a brand new plan for us. God's forming a brand new organism called the body of Christ. And God has a special plan and He has a special purpose for you and I. And that's that you and I will reveal the preeminence of Jesus Christ as we shine for His glory in the heavenly places in the ages to come. I've had people tell me, I've had Jehovah's Witness come up and tell me, and different ones that even say they're Bible believers, and they've come up to me and they've said things like this. Well, I don't think you ought to talk about people about going to heaven. Why not? Because I'm not going to be in heaven very long. I'm only going to be there 7 years, and then I'm going to come back down with Jesus Christ to the earth, and I'm going to rule and reign with Him on the earth, and then I'm going to be on the new earth. And so I'm not going to hardly ever be in heaven, so I don't think you ought to talk about heaven. Now, is that stupid or what? That's the most ignorant stupidity I think I've ever heard in my life. You know what that results from? That results from people confusing the prophetic plan with God's mystery plan for us. That comes when people confuse this kingdom plan for the nation of Israel, which is an earthly plan, an earthly hope. They confuse that with the heavenly plan that God has for the body of Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. When I die, I'm going to heaven and I'm planning on staying there. Okay? I'm already seated there. How's that? I'm seated there. And in the ages to come, Paul says, we're still there shining for the glory of Jesus Christ. It's ridiculous. You know, but people, see, they don't understand the mystery. They don't understand that God's doing something brand new and He's forming a brand new agency. Why? That in all things Christ may have the preeminence. It's not enough that He just had preeminence on the earth through Israel. His Son must have preeminence in the heavenly places. And that's going to happen through this new organism He's forming called the body of Christ. And you're a vital part of that, see? And you are gonna dwell in that. What does 2 Corinthians 5:1 says? You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:1? It says that we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How's that sound, huh? You got an eternal house in the heavens. Woo! When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And I'm not planning on leaving. We are going to shine in the heavenlies. See, and Israel is going to shine on the earth. And so He'll have preeminency in both places. We have an eternal house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have a heavenly head. He's forming a heavenly body. Paul said we have a heavenly hope. We've been made part of a heavenly kingdom. And we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And guess where they're located? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad to be a part of God's plan tonight? Lost Jews and Gentiles. See, today there is no Jew or Gentile. A Jew has to get saved just like a Gentile. And so there is no Jew or Gentile today, the Bible says. And so whether your nationality is Jewish or whether your nationality is Gentile makes no difference. For the past 2,000 years, God has been taking believers. He's been reconciling them into one body to form one new man, the church, the body of Christ. And we get to be a part of this great cosmic plan for that God has to reconcile the heavens and the earth to His Son, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Verse 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell." Go over to chapter 2, and that's very similar. What a statement right there, by the way. "For it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell." Look over at chapter 2, verse 9. "For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The idea here, church, is that Jesus Christ totally and perfectly reveals deity to us. To the point that Jesus Christ could look people in the eye and say, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. In Him all fullness dwells." In your handout, it says everything finds its purpose and completion in Christ. Everything. Remember Ephesians 1:10 last week? "In the dispensation of the fullness of times, God's going to gather together in one all things that are in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him." What that simply means is that everything in the heavens, remember, God has a plan in which He's going to glorify His Son in the heavens. That's us, the body of Christ. God has a plan through which He's going to glorify His Son on the earth. That's through the nation of Israel. But the point He's making in Ephesians 1:10 is that both plans, the prophetic plan for earth, for Israel, the mystery plan that involves us in the heavenlies, both of those plans center in and focus in one person, Jesus Christ. They both find their fulfillment and their completion in a person, in Jesus Christ. The same rock that we're standing on for the mystery program in the heavenlies is the same rock that Israel will be standing on for the prophetic plan on earth, and that's Jesus Christ. Everything finds its purpose and its completion in Christ. The next statement in your handout says that the word fullness says that it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. That word fullness means that there's absolutely nothing lacking. There's nothing lacking. That's what the word fullness means. There's nothing lacking. And the reason why He says that is you got to understand the context. There were many, many false teachers who were trying to take these Colossian believers and they were trying to lead them away from a total trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, Christ is good, but He's not enough. You see, you need Christ. That's fine. You can have Christ, but He's not enough. You've also got to have our religious rules. And He's going to deal with that. You also need our tradition. He's going to deal with that. You also, you know, Christ is good, but you also need this mysticism over here that we have. If you really want to be complete, He's going to deal with that. Oh yeah, you know, Christ is good, and that's wonderful, but it's not enough. You also need to come under some of these Old Testament law systems. Christ is good, but you need some of our philosophy too to go along with it if you really want to be complete. So you got these false teachers that are parading into the church at Colossae and Laodicea, and what they're doing is they're demeaning our Savior Jesus Christ and they're making Him out simply to be a created being. Oh, yes, Christ is good. You can even make Him prominent, but He's not preeminent. He's not enough. You need something else that we're selling over here. And so Paul writes the book of Colossians to solidify these believers in their faith in Christ, to assure them that, hey, you don't need anything that these false teachers are promoting to you. All fullness dwells in Jesus Christ. Listen, he says they've got nothing to offer you. Philosophy, he says, it's just vain deceit. Tradition, just tradition of men. Old Testament laws, man, Christ nailed it to the cross. You got all these, self-inflicted rules and religious regulations. He says, man, it's a bunch of nothingness. It can't accomplish anything. And so Paul basically says to the Colossians, he writes to them from prison, and he wants them to be rooted and grounded in Christ, and he wants them to know that, man, these guys got nothing for you. They have nothing to offer you. They are selling you a false bill of goods. Have you ever had anybody try to sell you something you don't need? And try to convince you you need it? Isn't that what commercials are designed to do? Commercials are nothing more than design commercials to convince you that you need something that they're selling, and if you don't get it, you'll be lacking. If you don't get it, man, you won't be complete. You got to have what we're selling. And one of the most frustrating things is when somebody is trying desperately to sell you something that you don't need. And you know you don't need it. You know? And it's just so frustrating. It's like, you know, they come to the door, yes? Ma'am, you need this pineapple skinner. What? You need this pineapple skinner. Your kitchen will not be complete without this wonderful pineapple skinner. I don't even like pineapples. That's okay. You still need to, you know. And the Colossian people were being inundated with all these false teachers that are like, you need this and you need that. And you got certain folks in the church at Colossae that were getting caught up in mysticism. Other ones were getting caught up in religious rules. Other ones are getting caught up in tradition. Other ones are getting caught up in emotionalism. And Paul is writing to them, and he's trying to get them rooted and grounded, and he's trying to let them know that, hey, listen to me. Everything that you need is found in Jesus Christ. You are complete in Him. In Him, all fullness dwells. He says, man, listen, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. You don't need what these false teachers are promoting. Christ is enough. Amen, church. Christ is enough. Aren't you glad I'm not up here telling you something different tonight? Aren't you glad you're in a church that's telling you that? Instead of up here trying to tell you that, you know, that you need to follow all of Pastor Dan's rules, and you need to follow Pastor Larry's guidelines, and you need to keep these traditions, and you need to follow these religious rules if you want any hope, you know. And that if you really want to be complete, you know, you need to follow these Old Testament laws here. Aren't you glad that you're in a church that's teaching you what Paul taught, and that is that you're complete in Christ. And that you don't need all this stuff. And that's just all it is. It's just stuff. And let me tell you something. Satan, just like he's got a world system out there that's operative right now, that's anti-God, anti-Christ, let me tell you something. He's got a religious system out there that's the same way. It's anti-Christ in the sense, anything, any religious system, or anything that purports to be able to draw you closer to God, okay, that anything that's out there telling you you need this, 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 or this in order for you to be complete, in order for you to really have that assurance, anything other than Jesus Christ is false. And you need to remember that. You need to remember that, friend. And why do you think he wrote the book of Galatians? Trying to bring them under the legalism of the law. Why do you think he wrote the book of Colossians? Because he's going to deal with all these different areas where these false teachers were trying to lead these people away. And you know what? Here's the deal. These false teachers weren't coming in saying, oh yeah, you know, Jesus Christ is evil and Jesus Christ was bad and Jesus... No, no. No, they're... Oh, yeah, yes, we reverence Christ. Oh, yes, Christ is wonderful. Oh, yes, we believe you should put faith in Christ. But, remember Sunday, but Saul? You know, but you also need this. You also need this that we're selling. and you need this, and you need that. Of course, all of it's designed, just put them right under their thumb, do this. All of it's designed, it's just religious tyranny. But yet people will succumb to that. People will come under the religious tyranny of these systems. And Paul is telling them, you need to get out from under it. You need to rid yourself of it. And you need to realize that in Christ dwells all fullness. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. And you are complete in Him. Now, here's the thing, though. You got this great plan to reconcile the earth through Israel and the heavens through the body of Christ. But how in the world is it going to be accomplished? How's it, in a practical way, how can it happen? Next week we'll find out, okay? And we're going to get back into this next week. And we will find out how it's going to occur, okay? And where you personally fit in, all right? Sorry to leave you hanging, but I'd rather leave you wanting more than saying, I thought he'd never shut up. All right. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much, God, for your word tonight. And Father, thank you, Lord, for this great plan you have to reconcile the heavens through the body of Christ. Thank you so much that we get to be a part of that plan, that great plan. We love you, we praise you, and thank you for your word tonight. And truly, you are preeminent in all things, Jesus. You, in you dwells all fullness. We believe that we're complete in you. In you dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Lord Jesus, we know that you're enough, and it's our a walk of faith in you on a daily basis. That's the Christian life. And so, Father, I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord, to be wise to these things. And Lord, not to allow, Lord God, religious systems to bring us under their tyranny. But help us, Father, to walk in the freedom, to walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.